Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking X-Men 97, Episode 1. It's here. It's been here for a couple weeks now. We wanted to give people a chance, and also life is busy, so we weren't able to follow it as closely. But we are going to go one episode at a time so we can really dive into it. I think it's worth it because I'm super excited about this. I was super excited when they announced it. I was super excited when they started releasing things about it. I have like one very minor gripe, but other than that, I'm all in.
Very curious what that gripe is going to be.
It's very minor. And there's also nothing
I can I got a gripe too, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into episode one. First thoughts.
Oh man. It's like reliving childhood pretty much. I mean, there's so much that goes on with like just revisiting like the intro, and I've seen some great videos of like how like fans are like taking like elements of like just the introduction itself and comparing it to like other like references, you know, where they're drawing inspiration from. But yeah, like I grew up watching the X-Men animated series. I can't remember if I even watched like the entirety of it, because that's probably one mistake I had, is I probably should have revisited it, especially like maybe the last like handful of episodes. Because this essentially it's tied into that. This is the what happens after the end of that animated series.
Right.
So we'll get into it. So, you know, I mean, X-Men is so old now, like who cares about spoilers, but essentially like Xavier is no longer there. And it's, you know, now you have the X-Men that are trying to figure out what to do. But just in terms of like seeing all these characters again and hearing these voices and just the animation style and all like just these 30-minute run episodes, like a whole lot of fun. You know, we're covering episode one, but I'll definitely say like I've watched a few ahead, and I question like you could call this a children's show, because it's a little deep and a little more mature. So
yeah,
I don't think it's anything like my kids would necessarily enjoy. But
right, I feel like you could say that about the original X-Men series.
But even though, yeah, I think some of these original
I watched as a child, there. But yeah, having rewatched it in the past couple of years, it is like, oh, this is a little more intense than you would think.
We did rewatch the first couple episodes, and you're just like thrown into stuff right away. Like there's no real lead up. It's just like all of a sudden it's just like all this stuff's going on. So
right.
Yeah, I think you need to be a little bit older to kind of really appreciate it and understand what's going on. But yeah, I mean, a couple little gripes, but other than that, like I've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to at least watch the last episode of the old X-Men series, the 80s, or I guess it was early 90s X-Men series. You should watch that, just the last episode, because realistically, the couple episodes before that are like not 100% related. I would say the episode right before it may be, because it does seem we get like a Mr. Sinister nod right in the beginning. In the opening credits, and that's kind of like they introduce Mr. Sinister in that last season, but then nothing happens. The last episode is basically the world is split. There are people that don't like mutants and people that do like mutants. And Trask uses some tool that like overloads Professor Xavier's brain and he dies. And this series picks up like right after that, which super cool that they'll continue the story.
Yeah.
And it's also just the old series was so fun because it was the only series of its kind that follows the comic books to a T. Like it follows the comic books. It doesn't branch out and try to like make up stories. So I was excited when this started and it was following that because I was like, oh, cool. Like, are we also going to get cool comic book stories in this? It does seem like this one is a little more loose with the being tied directly to comic stories, which like, fine. I get that that's like the new way things are going, but it does seem to lean heavily on some comic book runs, especially with like the designs of the characters. So super excited. Super excited about that. Alisa, your first thoughts, episode one?
Episode one, I really enjoyed it, even though like I was racking my brain because I know I watched X-Men whenever I was a kid, but I don't think I watched it regularly or like I can't remember like a single arc from the show. But what bits I did remember, I was excited to like to be able to revisit in this first episode. Of course, I remembered like all the heavy hitters like Rogue and Cyclops and Wolverine, Storm, everybody. And I wound up like we had a really great time watching this episode. So even if it wasn't quite as nostalgic as I'm betting it was for a lot of Marvel fans, because again, it wasn't a huge part of my childhood. It was in a small corner of my childhood. It was still really nice and super well done. I mean, I know we're definitely going to talk about that, but yeah, it's been great so far.
Yeah, the nostalgia's like a huge part of this, definitely. Especially as like someone who I have talked about it before, but like X-Men was my Marvel for a very long time. I didn't do Avengers or anything like that. It was strictly X-Men. So that brings back a lot of memories. And then the fact that they like really did their best to like continue the art style. And even the open, the like theme song is exactly the same. It's just updated a little bit. And I was like, even like the open cinematics and stuff are the same, just updated a little bit. And I was like, this is what I wanted. I would have been probably upset if this song had been different at all. I would have been like, what is going on? Why didn't you use that banger of a 90s riff that like literally everyone from the 90s knows? That's sure. That tune. My only gripe doesn't have anything to do with the story or the episode or anything like that. It rubs me a little the wrong way when they do this weird 2D, 3D animation. I don't know what it is about it, but like the closest that I could think about for this is Archer. Early seasons of Archer was like a fun stylized cartoon, basically. It's like all flat 2D. The last season of Archer, they started to like implement this a little bit more, where they were trying to show like depth of field. So like people would turn and their lines would kind of move with their turn, and it just looked weird. And it was like, why do we need to do this? I think it would have been fine if they had just stuck with the flat 2D animation. I get like updating it a little bit, but that's like my only gripe. And it's very minimal. It doesn't like take anything away from the show for me, but I wish they didn't do that. But let's get into the story a little bit. A huge part of this first episode for me, at least, was this is the first time that I think in an X-Men property, Sentinels are scary. I feel like they try to make Sentinels scary and everything, but they just kind of seem like big robots that kind of suck. Right. And in this, I feel like there was like actual terror involved with the Sentinels. Granted, there is like a gratuitous battle where they defeat like 12 Sentinels and it's just like five X-Men. But at the same time, like the X-Men are supposed to be like the best of the best, right? This is what they train for. So it's kind of like, okay, that's fine that they're able to take them all on. But even then they like a bunch more show up and it's like, oh, they're going to get overwhelmed. I think what they did wrong was they've shown us that Sentinels are scary. And yet all the people with Sentinel tech, like the Mega Man blaster gun things, they all kind of, they're not scary. Like, no, they all kind of suck.
They look like your average goon. Like.
Yeah. And I was like, ah, I guess that they need to have somebody to beat up, but I do wish that they had made like the Sentinel tech maybe a little bit better than it seems. It kind of feels like it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I like that you made the Mega Man reference because that's one thing I've seen circulating a lot is like, it's basically, it's like Mega Man.
Yeah, it's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
We did get some fun little nods to the MCU in this first episode too. WHIH, World News, that's the news outlet in like every Marvel Cinematic Universe thing. And that's the news outlet here. And for you eagle eyes out there or anybody that took the time to pause the screen, when one of the buildings explodes, a newspaper flashes past really quick.
Daily Bugle.
Yes, it is the Daily Bugle. It is. It has three stories. Is Spider-Man a mutant? Question mark. There's one about the Hellfire Gala, which is like a whole Marvel thing. Which is very difficult to explain because it's a bunch of people. Sometimes they're bad. Most of the time they're bad. And then Benton's mutant fashion show, which I was like, oh, there's got to be like a funny thing on there, I guess. But it's cool that we're already seeing references to the MCU. And I know in the original run of Old Man Logan, there's a moment where he picks up a comic book and it's an actual cover from like a Wolverine comic. And he makes mention to the fact that like, oh, all those stories are made up. And I think they do that in Logan too. I think she like, doesn't she pull out like a,
there's like a something. And
And so it's interesting because seeing this have things that tie it to the MCU, I'm wondering if like any of this is going to come back in that sort of way. Now that mutants are part of the MCU, are they going to be like, oh yeah, I'm sure you've heard of like this, you know, this crazy story about this event that happened. It didn't really happen like that, but
yeah,
just to be like,
Yeah. Here's what I'm wondering if they could go in this direction. Cause now the word is X-Men supposed to like, or at least the live action X-Men is supposed to kind of start, I guess, filming next year potentially. So we could be getting closer to that. But you know, like it's kind of how the MCU is now taken, where there's a lot of tie-in with like the series into the movies. So it's a lot of reference points and things like that. What if they just like kind of make the live action the same as the animated in a way where it's like, it's not really like nods or anything, but it's almost like the same thing. It's just like, you're just watching it either live action or animated.
I mean, which I think that's
could be interesting. Like if they can try to like make it like the same vibe or you know, the same set of characters, like we're not pulling in, like it's just like kind of like how they're, I guess, because I just saw the announcement today, like how they're doing a Mandalorian and Grogu movie. Like just kind of do that with X-Men. But it's just you kind of get these two different viewpoints of like, one's it's animated, but then here you have the exact same people. It's set up in the exact same storyline. It's just now it's live action.
I think I would like that mostly because what I like about the X-Men show or the series is that it told full stories. It was like, here's the arc, and this entire season is going to be this entire comic book arc, and we're going to do it faithfully to the comics. So if they want to do that and do, each season of this is faithful to a comic line, and then they make a movie about that series that's maybe, or that, you know, that storyline that's maybe like condensed like they normally do, that would be fine. As long as I'm getting the full story, because I feel like that's my biggest pull for X-Men 97 is that, like, yeah, you guys have said that you're going to lean on mm-hmm. what the original X-Men animated show did, which was tell the full story. So please tell the full story.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the characters really quick. So I mentioned that I watched the last episode previous to X-Men 97. And I remembered that in the original animated series, for whatever reason, they all call Cyclops Psyche. That's his nickname. Not Scott, mm-hmm. not Cyclops, just Psyche. And I thought it was so weird. I was like, oh, stop calling him Psyche. No, why would you call him Psyche? Just call him Scott. It's, I don't know, it's weird. So in this, they all call him Scott. And I was like, I wonder if that was intentional or if they were just like, didn't really think about it, that they all call him Psyche in the old one.
Were there variants?
yeah. Like, is this a different group? But it is weird because Morph is such like a big character here. And I feel like Morph wasn't that big of a character in the original series.
That's one character I was just like struggling to really, like, I know the character. Mm-hmm. I've got like a whole collection of like X-Men cards. I know I've got cards of Morph. Like, I'm familiar with them. But I did not really remember him from the original series.
He's in it, but not. He's not like one of the main members.
One of the main members. And okay.
This first episode will really make you think the only reason he is in this is to show off other mutants that aren't in the series. Like, he changes into. Well, early he changes into Professor Xavier. He changes into Scott. Later mm-hmm. in this same episode, he changes into Archangel. He changes into Lady Deathstrike. He changes into Blob. Like, he's just a walking Easter egg in this series. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. But it's weird because in the opening credits, it makes it seem like he is maybe not good. Because, like, everyone has their, like, intro, right? Says their name, they do something. For his, it says his name, and then immediately he turns, and he's, like, in terror. And as we go into his mouth or his eye or something like that, you see Mr. Sinister. So it's like, oh, is he bad? And he's also a major creep. He's really, like, every time he talks to somebody, it's like, why is this guy such a jerk? Like, So I'm kind of feeling like he might be bad. At least so far in this episode, he feels a little creepy.
It's like it's misplaced. Like, should you be an X-Men? Like,
yeah. Oh, and it looks like he turns into more people too. Colossus and Psylocke. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing with him yet.
Yeah.
But he feels like he's a character that's there for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. I like that we're keeping like the base X-Men
mm-hmm.
gang together still. I feel like we got like a little bit of each of them doing something in this episode, but not a lot. This episode mm-hmm. leaned a lot heavier on really introducing that Storm is an Omega level mutant mm-hmm. and introducing us to the fact that like Scott wants to be the leader of the team, but he and Jean are trying to leave.
Yeah.
That's kind of the story we get in this first episode, along with like, oh yeah, they found Sunspot. He's been kidnapped. They save him, and then he's like, I don't want to be saved. I want to be kidnapped again, essentially, is what he says by going back out and just like going to a nightclub. Jubilee is here to, I guess, help Sunspot
Did they call him Sunspot? I can't remember. Was he referenced as Sunspot in the first episode?
No.
I don't remember him calling him that yet.
He just shows off his power at like the very end.
Well, yeah. He is Sunspot. Like, I'll be curious to see, like, you know, when that transition will happen, because, you know, not initially calling him that or like kind of referencing any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a vibe of like what they did with the new Mortal Kombat movie. It's where like you had this new original character, which the story was around, and mm-hmm. it just made it a little too weird because it didn't really kind of follow suit with like the traditional Mortal Kombat like storylines and you know, things like.
Right.
And that was a worry of mine, is like, you know, are they going to pull in like some original character, and that's what everything's going to be based around, and kind of takes you away from like you said earlier, like the actual like comic stories. But so far it doesn't seem like they're initially doing that. It's just like they're holding back on like certain characters, like especially the unknowns, right? They may bring them in and not initially say like, oh, it's this person from like this comics, but they'll eventually like call themselves this.
Which I'm hoping that is what's happening, is like we're going to get introduced to a few more lesser known mutants, because there already were a couple. I'm thinking of next episode. In the next episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are some lesser known mutants that have shown up on screen, not named, but you can recognize them as like, oh, I know that mutant from the X-Men comics. Cool. I don't know if they're going to have a purpose in this show, if they're going to show up again, or if it's just like more of a nod to the greater X-Men universe. Because like, I mean, think about Avengers. You could probably name all the Avengers on your fingers.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Whereas X-Men is like, there's X-Men, there's new X-Men, there's all new X-Men, there's young X-Men, there's the X whatever X-Force, there's the X-Men that are all students at the school who then graduate, and then there's another class that comes in after them, and now they are all helping. So it's like there's no end to the amount of mutants in the Marvel universe as a whole. So this series could be a great way to like pull on some of those other ones. I'm really wondering if we're going to lean more into the newer mutants in this series. It seems a little bit more like we're leaning towards like the, I'm just going to call it, I haven't watched all of them yet. I've seen most of them. I feel like this series is leaning towards turning Scott, because that's like a big point in the comics, is that Scott sort of starts to think like, oh, Xavier isn't wrong. Maybe we should just like govern ourselves and be by ourselves. And then he starts New Geonosha or whatever, and or Utopia or one of those two things, and basically like runs the X-Men there, and then kind of goes a little crazy. And then granted, he also gets like, there's like a whole thing with Hope, and he gets the Phoenix Force comes down and like chooses him, and then he starts to destroy the world, and it's a whole other thing. I don't know that we're gonna get there, but I feel like we are making the turn of like Scott is going to potentially change his view set on like we should protect humans and we can all live together, and instead be like, we can live together, but like we're gonna live over here and you're gonna live over there.
That would be impressive if they went that full story. But yeah, I could see that. Yeah, Scott's definitely a driving force from these first few episodes with where things are kind of going. And you get a lot of that classic element of like, you know, we got more Logan Wolverine time in the first episode, but it's like, you know, where is that going to lead? Like, does Logan want to even consider being a leader as well? Or like, what's his real role going to be in all of this?
Yeah, he's a little more, we got a little more like snarky Logan.
Yeah.
A little less like moody, depressed Logan.
Yeah.
He's throwing a little bit of a fit because Scott's the leader.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which that, while we were watching these first episodes, I was with Mason and he found a meme on his phone that apparently somebody made in response to this new series. And it was about Scott and Wolverine. It says, whoa, Scott is the cool leader and Wolverine's the simp. It says, always has been, always will be.
I will say,
that kind of fits what we've seen so far.
when they come, I don't know, do either of you watch It's Always Sunny?
I've seen a few episodes because Mason loves it.
Okay. Well, any listeners out there, if you remember the episode where it's like early on, like maybe season two, when Dee is dating the guy who's come back from Iraq and he wears jean shorts and like a polo, for whatever reason, immediately I saw him in my mind when Scott walked into the kitchen when Gambit was making beignets, and Scott walks in wearing just like the brightest blue jeans and then like a white collared polo that's tucked into his jeans. And I was like, oh, God, look at this guy.
Gambit's shirt in this episode is pretty hilarious slash great. Just like the half shirt.
Yeah. Have you seen the picture of the voice artist or the
voice artist? Yes, it was so amazing.
He wore the exact same shirt for a panel.
I'm so impressed with him. I do not know him, but I love him.
Oh, man.
I did not see that. I got to find that.
It must be seen.
Yes, yes. Well, that, I mean, that's pretty much it for the first episode. You know,
what? Yeah, we haven't gotten to the big end part.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the big end part.
Oh, well, yeah.
Before we get there, I see where he wore the shirt. That's great.
We're all ordering them.
Yeah. One question. I haven't looked this up. I guess I need to go back and rewatch some episodes. In the original X-Men, did Storm change her hair in that episode? In any along the way?
Because
like I've always known Storm to have like the two different hairstyles,
right?
And I was just curious if in the original X-Men, if she kind of transitioned to the hairstyle that we see in 97.
I don't think so. I'm trying to think, like, I just watched it yesterday to like refresh.
It's like one of those things I don't think anyone ever like really pays attention to, but it's just like I just always remembered it being different. So I was just curious.
Related and also related to the ending of this episode. Again, I feel like I've got a lot of gaps with the original series, but I don't remember Magneto having this long, luxurious hair in the original show. Was that there? And I just don't remember it.
So, yes. When the series started to wrap up, they started giving him more hair. He didn't have the long hair. He just had more hair. But then the last couple times you see him, he is wearing his helmet. And then in the final episode, you see him sulking without his helmet on. And I would say his hair is about there.
Hmm.
Like if you think now his hair is like down to here, mm-hmm. in the last episode when he's upset that Charles died. His hair's like maybe here. So it's close. I had the same thought. I was like, wow, this is supposed to be like shortly after that. It's like 5 days later or something, right? Or no, this is a year.
Yes, this is a year after Charles died.
So like, I guess technically there would have been time, and that could also explain Storm's hairstyle. I just found a photo of her from the last episode. No, it is not the same as it is now. So maybe we're supposed to think that like these are changes that they've undergone since.
Well, there's one other change we'll probably need to bring up.
What you got?
Magneto's outfit.
Yes.
I just don't get it. I just don't understand.
So
this direction.
The sun's out, guns out thing? Because I also don't remember that when I was a kid.
So no, it is new for the animated series. it is from the comic line that this is supposed to be referencing. It has a name too. I'm trying to find what the name is, but I cannot find it. But this I think is the outfit that he wears when he's like starting to get towards House of M stuff. It's when he's like becoming a little bit more like thinking about himself and if he's like happy doing what he's doing. So it kind of fits this storyline that like he's taking over for Charles because he's like, all right, he was right. I shouldn't be killing people. I should be helping people.
The Savage Lands costume.
Is that what this one is?
This is Rogue and Magneto have donned their Savage Lands costume. The Savage Lands are a place in Antarctica constituting a primitive rainforest where prehistoric animals still dwell. In the comics, that is where the love between Rogue and Magneto bloomed. While that storyline has not been made real in X-Men 97, there is a reference to the same in Gambit's hallucinations where he envisioned Magneto and Rogue in their Savage Land outfits. I think that's creeping a little bit ahead, but
which
it's just so different. Like, it's just hard. It's just whenever Magneto's on screen, it's just like I always initially want to think like this is a different character just because I'm so used to his traditional outfit, you know?
Right.
But it just trips me out every time.
It is a strange choice to like change some outfits and not all outfits. I feel like if you're going to do it for one of them, you should have just like leaned into it and been like, everyone got new outfits.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not over yet. Just happened.
No. that was a solid ending though. Like just him showing up and it's like, oh, hey y'all, guess what? I got left everything in the wheel.
Yeah. And then, you know, surprise, Scott is not too jazzed.
I don't know if anyone was jazzed.
But it'll be exciting to see kind of like the direction that Magneto leads the X-Men and how the power struggle of who's in charge is going to happen. You know, big questions. Are Jean and Scott going to stay? Are they going to leave? Is Wolverine going to leave? There's a lot of times where he's there and then he goes off and does his own thing. You know, is Sunspot going to become Sunspot or is he going to stay Rodrigo? Is Gambit going to do anything? I feel like he only, you know, he made beignets and then he helped them in that one fight for half a second.
Make more beignets.
Maybe.
Say, making beignets is hard and they're delicious. So
they are delicious.
I will try to. I'm going to start trying to post any images that we talk about on our social media. So you at home don't have to like search for stuff. We can just go to our social media and see it. one of the ones for me this week was when Scott is laying the table for the beignets. Mm-hmm. What is the serving situation? There's like four, maybe five spots that are like set up with forks and like silverware and stuff. And then he also just places one like on the very corner of this table and then places another one like oddly off center on the middle part of the table. And it's like, what is he? Is he setting the table? Is this a table they eat at? Is he just laying? Like, it's so bizarre. I was just like, what a weird choice to have him do while he's basically like berating Gambit for not helping when they had a fight.
Maybe he's learning. Maybe now that the baby's on the way, he's like, I'm going to do more around the house. And Jane's like, you really don't have to do that. He's like, no, I'm going to. And then he's just like, I don't know where I'm put out. The corner's fine. Somebody else sit there.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't. Yeah. I mean, baby's on the way. Like, that's another interesting layer to the story of like, probably, you know, a big chunk of like why they want to leave. It's like, let's go raise a family. But at the same time, like, we want to save the world.
They do make the point that the whole reason they've been fighting so hard is so that, like, mutants can have normal lives, just like like people, like humans do. So, like, we have fought so we can do this. So, at this point, they're both kind of like, we should go. It's probably not the best place, the best environment for a small baby.
Oh, I also, I forgot. I meant to bring this up earlier. I want more Beast, because this is my favorite kind of Beast, where he's like kind of funny and kind of quirky and super excited about all the nerdy stuff that he's doing and doesn't understand 100% why other people aren't as excited as he is. And I feel like it's the Beast that we got at the end of the Marvels. And it's the Beast that we're getting now, and it's the Beast that I just finished reading about in like the latest run of the X-Men comics. So it's like, yes, give me like goofy, funny, loves to be here Beast. Because in the old animated series, he was not. No. He was very much like the smart, scholarly Beast. But in this, he's like funny, he's quirky. I want more. I want more Hank McCoy. Doing stuff, building stuff, showing off
it's
stuff.
Like it's that same element. It's like if you put like Hank McCoy, Peter Parker, I can't think of the kid's name that was like the friend in the Miss Marvel. It's like you just put all them in a room together and they're just gonna nerd out over stuff.
Yeah And I want that. I'm enjoying it. This is my enjoy nerdy Beast phase. I also want more. I'm a Wolverine fan, so I want there to be like a Wolverine storyline. But I also recognize that's not the point of this. So I'm fine that we don't get one if we don't get one. But just, you know, keep it in mind, Marvel.
I'm sure we're getting Deadpool this year. To that note, if Deadpool wants to show up in this, like, that would be cool.
No,
would
be sad.
This would be a great place to throw him in. Even if he like makes a ref, like a funny reference to.
I mean, look, if you've not seen the trailer yet, he's basically said he's Marvel Jesus. So like he could just show up anywhere.
Well, any final thoughts for this week's episode?
More.
Yeah, agreed.
Which do we know how many episodes we're getting? I generally try to avoid that, but like,
I don't
keep this running.
I'm just assuming 8 because I feel
probably.
Like even though it's an animated show, I feel like even the newer animated shows have been getting less and less episodes. Yeah.
Almost makes me wish
it's 10.
It's 10.
Okay.
This came out like. In the summer, like this is like your Saturday morning summer show, cartoon show. Like,
it's also a show that like very easily could be like one of those seasons that has like 27 episodes.
Oh yeah.
So I'm wondering if when we get to 10, is season 1 done, or are they going to do like a hiatus thing where they give us 10
and then
do hiatus and then, for
It's like 20 episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just split it up. Yeah.
I'm like okay. In the good old days.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I want my entire season to not fit on one disc, you know?
Right, right.
We want filler episodes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's but then it's like as Wolverine soon episodes. As this is over, like everyone's like, where is the steel book for these first episodes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to order it.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I really like collecting things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've held off on collecting Marvel toys for a long time that are mm-hmm. the new toys, at least. I like collecting old stuff, but the new stuff I've been holding off for a long time because I'm like, I don't want to get it because I'm going to get too into it. The end of episode one, for me, I was like, I got to buy these. I got to buy the toys. I got to buy the, there's little ones. I got to buy the little ones. I got to do it. Yeah. I got to blow $300 or whatever to buy the whole set.
Ooh. Yeah, it's lots of monies.
but I mean,
have you seen like the new like special edition steel books for like Avengers and Guardians and Doctor Strange? Like,
yeah.
Do I need them? No, but
I really want them. I think I've shown you guys, and I'll try to remember to post a picture of this too, but I have the phase two bundle that came with a power stone inside the little ball that he steals in the first Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. And like, and then it came with all this other stuff. I have like a little film thing with Auntie's wing and stuff like that. They had that for the first one, phase one, two, and three. I don't know that they continued after that, but phase one was like a giant chest or a giant case. And inside was the Tesseract. And then phase three was the Infinity Gauntlet, which I was like, you jumped the gun because so far we only have two of the Infinity Stones, but whatever. I really wish that they would do more stuff like that, like a fun box set that came with like a collectible.
Mm-hmm.
So like if they did that for this, like if it was, you know, Scott's eye beam.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Space shield or whatever. And then you slid all the DVDs inside of it. Like, I'm in. I cannot buy that.
Right.
Well, getting back to our questions for the week. I think the question this week is going to be, what mutant do you want to see show up in this series? And remember, we've got Morph. I mean, he could literally turn into anything. So
yeah,
I'm not necessarily saying like what mutant do you want to have a storyline or show up as a main character, just like what mutant do you want to see pop up in this series? That's what I want to know. So send your answers to us on social media and you'll hear our answers next week for episode two. But I think that about does it for episode one. So if you have Disney Plus, which if you're listening to this, I hope that you're watching along. And if you're watching along, then you have Disney Plus. Take about 2 months of your time to go watch the entirety of the original animated series because it's well worth it. It's a lot of fun. And maybe it'll give you like a new outlook on this new season. Because again, the final season, they introduced Mr. Sinister. This picks up right after the last season. So who knows what else from the last season could show up again in this. And remember, I was just about to say something, and then I was like, wait, that's from the last episode of the original show. But go listen to Scottish Moira McTaggart, if you remember her from the first class X-Men movie, when she's not Scottish, but then she's super Scottish in the animated show. but yeah, that does it for us this week, so we'll talk to you all next week.